Wow, I love those words. And I will build my life on you alone. And his love, and that's our firm foundation, isn't it? Let's just close our eyes. Let's just not let these moments pass, which is so easy to let happen. We don't just sing. We don't just want to be moved because we hear music. I don't want to just be moved because I hear music and I sing words and I stand in a presence of faith at this moment. I want to know you deeper. I want you to be in my life. I want you to hover over me at all times and me to have a sense that you're present. And I want your ways to be my ways. I want your life in me to be the foundation that I never, ever move away from. God, we pray right now that you make that possible, because you're this extraordinary God that intersects not with our intellect, not just with our physical environment, with the deepest parts of us. We respond to it. And when we do, we have this sense of you in us. Amen. Amen. Good morning. My name's Kelly. I'm part of the team here at West City. Is that my bottle? I hope it is. Is it over there? Oh, I have got, oh, sorry. I've got a little bit of a croaky voice. I'm part of the team. I haven't been all that well lately. I'm sorry about that. I was going to just start drinking out of that bottle. You don't do those things these days, do you? We used to just share each other the bottles and no one worried about it. Gosh, life's changed. But, I'm recovering. I haven't even washed my hair and done any really making up today, so forgive me if I look a bit of a wreck. Do I look a wreck? Just say no, you don't. And none of you really care anyway. People on the podcast care even less, you know, so I won't worry about it. But I'm kind of going to talk today, but I'm also going to get a bit of a panel of people up here who are going to come and help me, because what I really want to talk about is the idea about how do you set yourself up for each new year. What do you do to start the new year? Now, in our culture, it's a really kind of normal thing for people to set. They do a bit of a plan, don't they? Many people do. They kind of review the year was and they set these, what do they call them? New Year's resolutions. My son is laughing there because he always knows that I forget these key words. And do not laugh, because it makes me feel really apprehensive, Sonny Jim. So you set these New Year's resolutions. You know, how many people do those? We've got a few. How many people? I like it. I think it's about having a bit of an intentional life. You know, it's not a bad thing, is it, to live intentionally? And some people get really into it. Like, you know, they review the whole, 2017, and they map out where they think they've got some shortcomings and what was good and what was a struggle, and then set some goals for the new year. Who does that? Come on, don't feel embarrassed. Put your hand up. I'm going to give you a little present for being... They're just ridiculous, the rest of these people who don't join with you. Lovely. Does anyone else do that? Now suddenly, give a present and they're everywhere, aren't they? One more. Who would like to do it? Okay, I'm giving it to you. Look at that. And a friend of mine wrote that book, and she just writes a little kind of a guide to help people think through the year that was. And I think it's great. I think it's really great to do that kind of thing, living an intentional life. In fact, I love what Victor Hugo says when he says, most people think once or twice in a lifetime. I'm successful because I like to think once or twice a year. I think it's true. Most people just don't do any. We don't think. We wait till we're in a crisis. Often we wait till we're in a crisis and then we're trying to like, oh my gosh, what's going on? What shall I do? But, you know, there's this real sense of, well, what could we do to actually consider what we've got coming up? I was talking about this idea, how do we live intentionally? And I think when it comes to personal development, what am I doing here? I'm kind of feeding back somehow, aren't I? Don't know what I'm doing. When we live intentionally, when we do like personal development work, the objective to be is on a personal improvement kind of course, isn't it? Like you think, I want to get better at... Who's got something they want to get better at? See, you don't even know that. Come on. What's that? Yes. Cricket. Oh, career. I thought, cricket, that was good. I like that. I like to get better at cricket too. In fact, I played with my sons down south, and I'm going to bring this up because it was one of those wonderful moments. They had the tennis ball. You know when you put a bit of tape on the tennis ball to make it curve? You know, that it's just a tennis ball. You know. And he was bowling. My son decided I was batting and he wanted to get me out. First ball. Like, you surely give your mother a chance, right? He hurtled in. He pounded a bouncer at me. Does anyone know about cricket? Hope you do. Bounced. Bouncer following, coming right at my head. I didn't turn my head away, cricketers. I swerved back, went past my nose. I felt like I was in the Ashes series. It was a brilliant moment. Sorry about that. But anyway, some people want to get better at cricket, some people want to get better at career. Lovely. But there's things we often think about, you know, we want to get fit. And we want to get strong, and you know, that's important as you get older, to get more, keep your strength and you get more, retain your flexibility. So we can have these plans, and I think it's really important that we do plan that, and that's us setting the goals. What do we want to achieve? Applying the discipline, reviewing how we're going, and then, you know, looking at the end of the year, how do we actually go and achieve it? So here we go when we come to our spiritual life. Is that the same model that we would apply in our spiritual world? That we come up with a plan, we apply the disciplines. You know, I'm going to pray, you know, 1 hour every day. I'm going to read my Bible 45 minutes every day. I'm going to, you know, I don't know what else you're going to do, but you could be doing something fasting once a month. We can set up all these plans and these goals as if we are managing our own spiritual growth. And you know what that becomes? Behaviour modification is what I think it becomes. Becomes maybe some retraining of the mind, but largely becomes about the way we measure it is how do our behaviours change at the end of that. So we become focused on, am I looking like a better Christian? Maybe am I feeling like a better Christian? Maybe am I thinking like a better Christian? But here's this really distinct difference. Spiritual growth is not about behaviour change. It's not even about thinking change. It's actually about transformation. It's actually about being transformed. It's actually about changing from the inside out. And of course, you start to see things on the outside. But ultimately, God's going, the only person who can transform you is me. And he's going, I want to get to the core of who you are. And I can see you. And I do see you. And I do see what I need to work on you. But I reckon we ignore it because we're so busy, either busy with our own lives in other areas of planning or even in our spiritual life. We've got the reins and we're going to flog that horse going the direction we want to go. Today I want to talk about this idea about being transformed. And this idea that we need to be changed from the inside out. Not that we can make all those changes happen, but that we actually have to follow the one who can make them happen. I don't know if that's it. Maybe that's it. Seriously. Now I've done this wrong. Sorry. Little pause. So we're not in a personal development exercise. We're an exercise of letting go. Trusting the potter. Trusting the good shepherd. Trusting the good father. That not only is he able to do it, but he can speak to us and we actually get to join with him. You know, there's this idea that there's a shepherd. And I love the idea of the good shepherd because it's this picture that the sheep know his voice. And he's saying, this is the way to go. And they say, I know your voice and I'm going to follow you. I'm going to allow you to lead, but I'm going to follow. It's transformation. It's so different to personal development. It's so very, very different. So we need to ask ourselves questions like, what is God like? How is God calling me? What is God saying to me? What has he shown me in this last year? What is he asking me to hold on to? What is he calling out to change in me? And what do I want to make sure that I build into my life? And to explore some of this, I'm going to get a bit of a group up here to help me. Come on up, team. And I've got Craig over here, Craig Dorrington. I've got Jess Short. And I've got Heidi. So come on up. And where's the other mics? You got them there? Can you get those? Because we want to talk about 2018 be a magnificent year of what I've called transformation. And these guys are just parts of our community. And I thought, I said to them before today, I said, listen, hey, let's have a bit of a chat about things. And the first thing I said to ask you guys is, what's one thing that you think you learned about God last year? Heidi, what's one thing you learned?
I said to Kelly before, when I went away and did this, I actually did it. It was funny that you asked me because a week ago I did exactly this. And then I think John rang me up and said, can you sit up on stage and answer these questions? I'm trying to think of every reason not to, and I think, far out, I've already done it. So, and then I went, whoa, 2017. It was probably the most challenging year spiritually, personally and professionally for me. And so what did I learn? I could feel a book. that's what I worked out. So today I want to kind of focus on kind of one thing that I learned, and it sits perfectly in with what you said, I think, is that whole connection first with God before doing anything else. Seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will fall into place. And I think...
How did you learn it? How do you think? Because you've known that all your life. I mean, we all know these things intellectually, you know?
How did I learn that?
So how did it actually reach you?
Oh, how did it reach me? Just walking into challenges. I think I had a chronic fear of failure growing up, and I worked out that something spoke to me early on in the year that said, or God spoke to me early on in the year, broke through that, and he said, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, I gave you a spirit of love, power. Yeah. What was the last
one?
Sound mind. And sound mind.
So it's kind of like a scripture, like you went through a hard circumstance and then out of that hard circumstance that scripture started coming up in you, and for you that started to really trigger something to say, I need to lean more into God and not myself.
Yeah, absolutely. But lots of different ones.
Lots of different, yeah.
Yeah.
Craig, lots of different ones. What was something you learned this year about God?
Hello. There you go. I was thinking about the questions that were sent, and Jason Osborne sent us a text to a few guys the other day. There's a sticker on the back of a car, which probably describes a bit of my year. It said, "Jesus is coming. Look busy." I'm really gifted at doing a lot of things at once, but I don't do any of them really good. So. That for me has been a real year of trying to do a lot myself, and not stopping is my thing. Oh. Stopping and just listening.
And why was that? Why do you think it came home this year?
2016, I had a real year of where God, I really met God myself personally, that real personal relationship. And then last year, I thought, great, we're travelling really well, and God doesn't want you to stay where you are. He wants to take you to the next level, and I guess it was opening up doors in my life and things that I just didn't want to deal with, and I didn't want to go there. You know, things about my personality, you know, all battles I battle with. And he just keeps taking the next step. And yeah, it was a bit of a hard one. But I knew one thing. I knew there is a God. I know there is a God, and I know the peace. I felt the peace that God gives us. And I'll search to the day I die for
and,
that.
And I mean, this is what life is like, isn't it? Especially our spiritual life.
Yeah,
it is about this sense of, you know, when you go through these hard things or when we worry, these are the promptings of God in your life. These are not terrible things in themselves, although they can look really difficult at the time.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard.
What about you, Jess? What do you think you learned about God?
Yeah, so 2017 was like Heidi, like a bit crazy and a bit all over the place. But the biggest thing that I learnt was that God is good. And I always kind of had that or knew that in my mind, even throughout circumstances like family crisis or a work crisis, but actually knowing it for myself and that he wasn't going to come and take every good thing away from me, you know. And sometimes we are the ones that take those good things away, or someone harms us or we harm others, but God's not out to get back and take that away from us, yeah.
And again, you would have probably had the teaching on that, so what happened to you that made you feel like, actually, I think he really is good?
Yeah, I started journaling again a lot and was able to reflect back on those times where there was something bad that happened or really challenging that happened, and was able to reflect on that and also hear the stories of other people as well, like at church and at work and in all walks of life when they're talking about things that have happened to them as well. So that was really encouraging.
Yeah. So Craig, how did it change you? How is it changing you? Like, what do you think's changing about you? You know, I don't know, your way you behave or you act or you speak. You know, what do you think is a bit different in you now because of that sense of, actually, I really think God's put his finger on something here in me?
I've got a lot of changes to make in my life, just in my personality. It's very outgoing, it's very strong, and I can be very forceful with people, as my friends know. A few have spent holidays with me, so I'm surprised the prices are here and the Holland's good to see us. Really it came down to the whole year of just fighting for this peace with God. I've been fighting for it, and it's been a struggle to get. And I've been really... So at Christmas time, I had the opportunity to go to down south. A mate went away, so I looked after his house. And I felt like I was going on my own. Everyone was asking, why are you going on your own? You're going to go nuts, mate. But I went on my own for a few days. And I knew I was just... That was my time to speak to God. And I literally was there for 20 minutes on my own. And I sat and did nothing. And I felt a peace. And I felt... Not a physical voice, but in my head, I felt God say, I'm here. I've been here the whole time. I just haven't stopped. So I've gone 12 months without stopping, I feel. So it's only taken me 12 months to learn it. So it's good. I'm getting there.
So how do you reckon that will change you going forward? Like now that's happened, what do you reckon?
Massive.
God saying to you?
Yeah, massive. I see changes. I keep saying I work, do stuff at Shalom. So I see changes in men that are just massive. God transforms these men. And God's got a plan for each and every one of us. But we don't tend to follow God's plan. We tend to go our own way. And if we can follow God's plan, I think, you know, the stuff that God has in store for us is massive, massive changes.
Will you try to build that into your life this year, this idea of stopping? Like, in terms of if you knew that you didn't stop for 12 months?
Yeah. I think just standing here and telling, you know, having mates to deal with. I was talking to Ant from work just out the back there. And you say, you tell... Well, I have mates that I talk to a lot. So once you sort of confess this sort of stuff, you're open to, I guess you're exposed to people saying, hey, how are you going stopping?
Yeah, that's great. And Heidi, what about you? How did it kind of change you? Or what things do you reckon God was kind of saying to you, hey, this should adjust, you need some adjustments here?
Oh, he said to me, I think one of the key things was he said to me, I made you in my image, and that was really big for me because I think I'd made him in my image. So, you know, like when I go away and think, oh, yeah, you know, God, I'm coming to him with this, thinking I'm constantly having this ongoing conversation, but probably not sitting still and listening enough. Anyone that knows me well knows that I can probably... I was actually really fearful of just waffling today because I'm like, I know that I can lose track quickly. But I think what he's done for me this year is keep bringing me back on track. And he said, you know what, because I'm made in my image, you are, everyone is of equal value in my eyes. Like, he made everyone in his image, not just me, but everyone. So then I thought, what does that mean for me? And what it means is that I can learn something from everyone. And I think sitting down and coming to that, coming to everyone that I meet, I've just learnt so much from my friends, my family, from my kids, just having a teachable spirit. And I think... And then God said to me, well, if you connect with me, I can then gently correct you, whereas if I don't connect with him regularly and ongoing and don't hand... So the change that I think this year I need to make and keep making is handing everything to him, inviting him into every aspect of my life, and then he can then talk into that space and he can correct me along the way, as opposed to going, oh, look, I've got this really big thing, I'm going to come to you now, and then he's like, but I've got to get from here to here, whereas if I'm connecting constantly, he's constantly correcting along the way, and it doesn't feel like such a big, I don't know, journey to get to that point, I suppose. And so for me, I suppose that's what I need to keep doing with, and a good analogy of that would be with my kids. Like, if I'm not connecting with them, how do you come in and stand beside them and
how do they hear your voice? And how do you know his voice?
Yeah, that you come across as a dictator or an autocratic.
Which I think system. Is where God does often get put. Here's the scripture, do this. But relationship doesn't build that kind of thing. So what about you, Jess?
Yeah, so the first thing was just going back to scripture, but not just leaving it there and reading it whenever I kind of wanted to do that or to hear a nice thing, but also remembering it, you know, remembering it. So when, like, really practically, you know, you have these thoughts about things are going to change or things are going to go badly and going, no, like, this is not who God is and this is not what God said. And also to try and work through and being transformed so I don't have this woe is me mentality walking around with that. So, yeah, just practically. And that's hard and it's not solved and it probably won't be. But reminding myself of that, you know, and, yeah, and what God says about that as well.
That's great. Well, that's great, you guys. Thank you so very much. Give them all a hand. That was... It's always that wonderful sense of knowing that, for me, I didn't speak to these guys about what they were going to say or what ideas they had, but ultimately that's what should be happening in all of us, isn't it? That God is calling us to him. That ultimately he is the source. Not you and I and our best ideas and our theological knowledge. Not even in our careers and in our positions. But how do we get back to remembering that my spiritual growth is transformation and it's completely reliant on him and me hearing him and walking with him? You know, making plans with God is not the same as New Year's resolutions, because the source is so very different. I was thinking that the first thing that I always want to do in terms of is know him. It's really difficult to be able to assess what's being said to you, even, you know, if you feel God speaking to you, if other people are saying things, if you do not know what God is like. And I think sometimes we've never taken really the time to know, what is he like? Not what did I hear about him? I heard some things about him when I was a girl that honestly caused me to think that he really was just waiting for me to make a mistake. That it really was my behaviour that determined my depth of relationship with him. But when you read scripture and you read about David and all those ridiculous things that David did and terrible things that David did, and here's God saying, here's the man after my own heart. I think, I want to know you, God. I don't want to set up an expectation the way you're speaking to me, the way that I thought you were like. I want to know what you're like. It's a really important thing to actually read scripture, to pray, to experience God, to hear about him from others so that we can know him. But after knowing him, here's the decision. Not only am I going to know you, I'm going to allow you to lead. That is really not the way so many of us are wired. We've got our plans. I've already got it worked out. I say it to my kids all the time. Don't worry about anything. I've got it worked out. Just do what I say. I've thought it through. Does anyone else say that to their kids? It's a really important thing they understand. They do not need to have a brain. They just need to listen to their parents. But then they choose not to. It's madness. But don't just rely on your own wisdom and your own understanding. Say to yourself, God, I want you to lead me. I want to hear your whisper. I want to follow it. You know, I was thinking about this scripture. It's often been one that I've quite... Oh, it's not that big, but anyway, you get the gist of it. Jesus is speaking, and it's in Matthew 16, 25 and 26. This is in the Message. It says, then Jesus went to work on his disciples. And he says, anyone who tends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Here we go, Craig. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. And I'll show you how. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way to finding yourself, your true self. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want but lose yourself? What could you ever trade your soul for? There's these words of Jesus, and essentially he's saying, yeah, you want to grow? Well, self-help's not the way to do it. It's being transformed. It's surrender. Not surrendering to culture, not surrendering to self, not even surrendering to your partner. It's about surrendering to God. When you speak, when you lead, when you whisper, I follow. Not only will I follow, I'm going to build it into my life. Because when you have spoken that to me, it wasn't a one-off word. It was a word for the rest of my life. And I don't want to lose hold of it. I don't want to forget it in a minute because 2018 passes and I'm doing review ready for 2019 and the old is gone. Transformation is gradual. It's peeling back the layers, and when he's got rid of one layer, you need to make sure it stays peeled back. You know, the next thought I had was not only allow him to lead us, but allow him to change us. Yeah? And again, I was thinking about the idea of the fruit of the Spirit. And in the fruit of the Spirit, it says, you know, in the scripture in Galatians, it says, when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And here there is no conflict with Jewish laws. In other words, I love the picture that he's the tree. What does that make him? The source, right? We're actually completely grounded in him. And then we produce fruit. But we cannot just go about, oh, I'm going to make myself gentle. I'm going to make myself... So actually tap into him. He knows what you need. Like, I often think, I'm really impatient. Is anyone else impatient? I'm impatient. I just want things to happen. If we're going to do it, just do it. So sometimes I set about a personal behaviour program to improve my patience. It's not really something that goes that great. But more and more what I understand is he's the source. He wants to work stuff out in me. And he is. And he has events, occasions, scripture, whispers, which is doing it. My job is to draw close to him and allow him to change me. In Galatians, there's that same message, that same scripture says in the Message, but what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way of life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good, crucified. You know, if we say yes to him, find out what he's like. If we say, yeah, I want you to lead, and then follow. You know, I was thinking, how do you actually do that? Because I think many of us have wanted to do that our whole lives, and we still go, I still battle with this, even though that's my desire. And I was thinking, what do I do to help that happen in my life? And the first thing that I always do is that I say, I'm committed to it, God. Whenever I'm having a bit of a battle and I'm going, I'm not sure if I'm going to actually be able to follow through on what I think God's saying to me, I say, God, you know what? I'm committed to it. I'm committed to doing things your way. I'm struggling, but I'm with you. And often the next thing that I need to do is a little bit what Craig was saying, which is that Selah. That idea in Scripture of Selah, which is rest, quieten down, listen. Listen. Because if we think God is not speaking to us, we are far too busy. Because I don't know about you, but every time I stop and I pause, I don't hear these loud voices in my head, but I often have a real sense in me about just something. Often it's something I'm worrying about. And whenever it happens, I think, you're working something out of me, God. I'm worried about it, and you're going to help me with this one. You're going to help me get through it. You know, Selah often starts with a scripture. I've actually brought with me today a little handout, which is just about Selah. You want to hold, Heidi, have you got that back there? It's just a little handout. You want to show it to me? Give me a copy. But all it is something that you don't have to take, okay? There's no offence will be taken if you don't want one, right? It's not like, oh, this is such an important resource, it'll change your life. It won't. It's just an idea. But what it is a little kind of booklet, just a little bit about Selah. And in it, I just put in a couple of scriptures which actually use the word Selah. And the word Selah means pause, reflect, weigh up. Weigh it up. What's it saying? What does it mean for me? Is God speaking to me? If he is, I want to hear him. If he is, I say yes. And there's just a couple of scriptures there which I really encourage you to be still and know that I am God and read them and just write some notes and do this idea of Selah. That's what we get to do when we really think. Stop and listen then to the whisper of God. He's whispered to me. Sometimes I hear him loudly. I've talked about it a few times when I feel like God has said something really loud to me. But you know what? Sometimes it's just like a moment. I'm just pondering and I feel like God just says to me, you're being too harsh. I know you can't believe that about me. I'm such a gentle creature, but every now and again, I can be harsh. And I can sense God will just say to me, you're being too harsh. He's not mad at me. He's not saying he's not going to use me anymore. He's not saying you're not good enough. He's saying, grow. Grow up, Kelly. Grow up. You're not supposed to stay a baby. Only he can do that in just a whisper. So when we think back over the year and we reflect on what he's done in our lives, what his whispers have been, they're not for nothing. So that we can be mature and perfectly formed, so that we can endure all things, so that we can be him and others can see him in us, so that we can put aside the old and we can become the new creation. You know, one thing that we've got to remember these days when we hear from him, which is why I say, you know, to the guys who are speaking today, after we've done the pause and reflect on the way up, let's remember. You know, there's a scripture in Joshua, and I love this. This has often been something I've thought about. And it says, and Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. So he's taken the stones which when they've crossed, right? And he's put these stones, and he says to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them. Tell them Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. And the Lord your God did to the Jordan what he'd done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. And he did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. What he was saying is, build a little altar, capture things, remember, because life starts to move on again. It moves on so fast that your word, Jess, will be lost in a minute. It will. And Craig could so easily just let all the busyness of this world and his time not spent with God just be gone and sit back at the end of 2018 and say, why didn't I do it? You've got to build an altar. You know, at the end of every year, John, you might want to come up and get ready for communion. At the end of every year, since my boys were really little, since they were, boy, probably about 1 year old, my oldest one, I sat down every year at the end of the year and I've recorded their individual annual stories. Don't know if any other mother does this. They were funny. They were touching. They were revealing. And I recorded them on cards that I kept in a box, like those little cards, those little, you know, like library cards. And I had a card for every boy every year. And I kept it in a box. And they were reminders of the year and how it had seen them change. And it kept the memories close and it taught me so much about their personalities, about their idiosyncrasies and about their challenges. And it was a practice of remembering, reflecting and carrying that into the new year that helped me better understand my sons. It was priceless. I think we could all use a God box of sorts. Some people call it a journal. Some people might use pictures and some people might write it down, I don't know, in another book, in a diary. I actually use another book for that now, just a little journal, but I don't use it for anything else. I only use it for that purpose. What's God saying to me? I don't want to forget and get it lost amongst the 100 other things that I say to myself. Perhaps we could all use a God box of sorts. We could each find a way to capture God's actions, his whispers, his revelations for the year that has been, and a way to remember that we are never alone, that God is close, that we are not self-actualizing, we are dependent on him and he is leading. We are not to be spiritual babies. We are active participants in a spiritual call to grow up and become more like Christ, our Lord and our example. May 2018 be a wondrous year of growth and opportunity. May we look Christ full in the face and ask him to lead us with a real willingness deep within us to follow. May we depend more and more on him and discover his ways for our lives. Then we will be living, truly living, like nothing can hold us back. I want to live like that in 2018. I trust you do too. Let's just pray. God, the year ahead, may it be full of you. More full than it ever has been in the past. May I hear your voice. May each of us hear your voice. May we see you in action. May we recognize you and grab onto it. Hold onto it and say, what does it mean for me? What are you saying to me, God? And may we write it down or record it. Never forgetting what you want for us in our lives. To grow more like Christ. We're not into behavior modification, God. We're into transformation, and we know that's only possible with you. Amen.